Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting of March 6th, 2018. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Rasmussen, and Gamble.
Thank you. And we heard last week or the week before that Councilmember Hanford would not be here. I received an email this evening from Councilmember Davis stating that he would not be here for work reasons, and I received an email from Councilmember Camp advising me that he would not be here as well. Without objection, we'll consider them as excused. Okay, and we do have Councilmember Davis who is going to say the pledge this evening. However, we do have a Boy Scout troop here this evening. I've got Troop 148, a patrol leader in that troop, Mr. Eli Bowen, will come forward and say the pledge. Thank you very much, sir.
I am so furious. Captain Luke. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations. This is item number one. It's AB 18059, presentation, Police Department Awards. Chief Windsor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could we have the chaplains come up front here? Chaplains Heather Fox and Michael Hanford, Brad Moore, and Michael Heenan is not present this evening. But anyway, I would like to recognize all of you for the exceptional service you have provided this past year as Monroe Police and Fire Department chaplains. You are an invaluable resource to our department and the surrounding community. When chaplain resources were low, you stepped up making sure that the needs of the community were taken care of. Your willingness to give selflessly to help others speaks to both your strength and the quality of your character. When you volunteer, you are making a commitment to share that most precious of resources, your time. To make life better for those who are in need, your support, dedication, and tireless efforts are greatly appreciated by the members of our department and the lives that have been touched by your generosity. Most volunteers have control over the time they can serve. As a chaplain, you are on call 24 hours, 7 days a week, and are often called upon in the middle of the night to comfort those families in our community that are in a crisis. But I know that you choose to volunteer selflessly and without expectation of being recognized or rewarded. Today, I wish to do just that. I want to let you know just how much your dedication is appreciated, valued, and cherished. Please accept my personal thanks for going above and beyond expectations in your commitment to serving the Monroe Police Department. I have some certificates and Chief's coins I'd like to give each one of you. I don't know what order they are, so just have the box. Here we are. And usually I tell everybody, I'll try to use that before we go.
They're probably
going to
be out later.
Brad Moore. Here, thank you. And my good friend Michael.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Would it be appropriate for me to say a word?
Please go ahead.
All right.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Well, on behalf of all of the chaplains, we want to thank you for the privilege of serving in this wonderful community. We want to thank our families and our congregations for praying for us and for praying for our police and fire. Thank you very much.
The next award I'd like to give out is the Chief's Award. Sergeant Kirby, come up here. You know how much you look forward to this.
Well, in front of
everybody. Tonight, Sergeant Ryan Irving is being awarded the Chief's Award, which is the highest award in our department. This award is a recognition of the effort Sergeant Irving has done in establishing the community outreach team for the city of Monroe, and the great work this team has done throughout the year. It was his efforts in researching similar programs in larger cities in the county, and his vision of what it might look like in a city of our size, that convinced the mayor and council to give this part-time program a try. I've been amazed at the progress this team has made in connecting with people and really making a difference in the lives in the city of Monroe. There are plenty of great things that I can say about Sergeant Ryan Irving, but sometimes it is more meaningful to hear it from an individual who is personally impacted. This is a letter that the department received in January of this year. I don't believe Sergeant Irving has seen this letter, but I'll read it here so everybody can hear. This holiday was extra special for a dear friend of mine because of Sergeant Ryan Irving of the Monroe Police Department. This past year, there was an article in the Monroe Monitor that caught my eye. It told of the work Sergeant Irving was doing to help the homeless get the help they needed to get off drugs and use the resources available to them in Snohomish County. My friend was so worried about her son and had even been checking the jail records daily to see if he had been arrested, just so she could know where he was and that he was still alive. At times, it would be months between times that she would hear from him. I called my friend and told her about the article, and she read it and contacted Sergeant Irving and told him the story of her son. He was on drugs, couch surfing, and shoplifting to get his next fix. Sergeant Irving contacted this young man and just wanted to talk. Well, it took a few tries, and finally, without reach from his family, also, he decided he needed help and didn't want to live the life he was living anymore. Sergeant Irving was there with help and guidance through the process, and I'm happy to say my friend was able to have her son back home for Christmas. They realize it will be an ongoing daily challenge to help this young man become whole again, but to go from not knowing where our son was to having him accept help has to mean the world to his family. I gave my daughter a bracelet for Christmas that says, "Make a Difference," which I hope we would all want to do, but I know for a fact that Sergeant Irving made a difference this Christmas for my dear friend. Also, a big thank you to the Monroe Monitor for the printing of the article about the hard work that Sergeant Irving is doing daily. It may be only one person at a time, but it can and does make a difference. Sincerely, so thankful for people who make a difference. I will give you the Chief's Award.
All right.
And I won't read it there because I kind of lose my voice or anything. You know, I've just been reading all night or so forth. And one of those that you don't use it until I don't remember. And this is a plaque that goes in the in our lobby where that anyone that has won the Chief's Award, their name goes on, and Sergeant Irving's is on here for 2017. I'll give you that.
Can I take this home
then?
We've got to do our ceremonial.
Okay.
the mayor for basically saying we're going to make this program happen and making me present, which was not fun, but thank you. I want to thank the council for asking tough questions and being supportive. I want to thank the department as a whole, where we've come. I think this was the least popular position when it first started, but as it's grown, I've seen every member of our department embrace it and assist me, whether that be transports, even our court has embraced it, and I think we're helping a lot of people. So thank you.
Good job.
The next award I'm going to give out is the Officer of the Year Award, Officer Trevor Larson, from up here, please. Officer Larson has repeatedly shown focus, commitment, and a positive attitude in his work. His work ethic is impeccable as he arrives to work every shift, fully prepared to respond to a call for service or proactively intervene in criminal behavior. One example of his excellent work ethic was on April 15th, where Officer Larson conducted a vehicle stop and, based on his observations, was able to call for an evidence impound. He subsequently wrote a search warrant for the vehicle, and during the search, located 10.4 grams of methamphetamines, 0.7 grams of cocaine, and 0.9 grams of heroin. He was able to charge the arrestee with possession with intent to deliver. Officer Larson did an excellent job of looking beyond the initial traffic stop and detecting criminal activity. Officer Larson statistically led the patrol officers in case reports, arrests, and DUI apprehensions. Officer Larson has proven to be dedicated to professional growth, and his work consistently exemplifies excellence. He has done and continues to do an exceptional job of responding to the needs of the City of Monroe citizens. For these reasons, he's receiving the Officer of the Year Award for 2017. Once again, certificate, and the usual. Congratulations. We're Black Panther Lobby, and this is the second person that we've awarded the Officer of the Year to, and Trevor Larson's name will be on the plaque. And congratulations, and
thank
no,
you,
not like a good sergeant, you can't take it home.
Thank you, Chief. And Council, I need to make an amendment to the agenda to add a second item under announcements and presentations. I have a letter that is sad for me to read into the record. At the same time, it is something that is a positive thing for the chief. He's moving on into retirement. So I'm going to go ahead and read this into the record. March 6, 2018, Dear Mayor Thomas and Monroe City Council members, I'm officially informing you of my intent to retire. I have served the City of Monroe as their police chief for 16 years and have come to this difficult decision. I have had a 46-year-long career in law enforcement and recognize that all wonderful and fun things have an ending time, and I am at that time now. When I came to Monroe, I had a goal of helping the police department become the best in the state of Washington. I truly believe that goal has been accomplished, not just because of my actions, but because of the wonderful people in the Monroe Police Department. They truly are the ones who deserve the credit for the vast accomplishments that the department has achieved since 2002. When I arrived, I also made several statements. One was that they would not be required to wear bow ties or campaign hats. I got applause for that one. The second one was that life is too short to be unhappy in your job, and I want to have fun in my job, and I expect you also to be happy and have fun in your job. If you are not, let me know and I will help you find a job that meets those expectations. Evidently, everyone had fun because no one asked me to find them a new job. I would like to thank the three mayors I had the opportunity to serve under, Mayor Donetta Walzer, Robert Zimmerman, and Jeffrey Thomas. I learned a great deal from each and appreciated the support they gave me and the Monroe Police Department. I would also like to thank the Monroe City Council members who I had the privilege to serve in the last 16 years. I have given... I would especially like to thank the current council, some of whom have become good friends, and all the accomplishments that they occurred during... good friends, and have given me some good advice. Lastly, I would like to thank four individuals who I owe and all accomplishments... Okay, there's something wrong with my reading this evening. I am so sorry. Lastly, I would like to thank four individuals who I owe any and all accomplishments that occurred during my time at the City of Monroe. These people gave me ideas, advice, even if I didn't want to hear it at times, and support. Chief Sherry Harris, Kirkland PD, Deputy Chief Gennard, and Administrative Director Debbie Willis. What great people they are. Lastly, I would like to thank my beautiful wife, Kim, who encouraged me, supported me, and yes, gave me advice. Without her, I would not have had such a wonderful career. My last day of work for the great City of Monroe will be May 1st, 2018. Thank you sincerely, Chief Tim Quinzer, Monroe Police Department. Chief, thank you so much for your years of service, and you will still be with us for another almost 60 days. But it's been a real pleasure serving with you. Council? So thank you very much, Chief. You'll have an opportunity for speeches later. Thank you, Chief. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to public comments. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matters that are subject to public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet out in the lobby. Ms. Atkinson will be bringing that in momentarily. The first person that we have who has signed up to speak this evening is Patty Glenn. Ms. Glenn.
Sure enough, you'll be seeing me again. No, I'm just kidding. Good evening, Mayor Thomas. Thank you very much. Chief Quinzer, congratulations. I'm sure that's been a long time in the coming. I am here tonight on official business with the Downtown Monroe Association. We have had a chance to review both items on the agenda for tonight. Agenda Bill number 18-067, the adopted MOC 12.35, City or Lying Down Public Sidewalk. We've also had an opportunity to meet with the Chief and Deputy Chief and talk about some of the thoughts and concerns we had that were raised at the first reading around that, and we voted tonight unanimously to support that ordinance and any changes that the Council might see fit or the City sees fit. And then we also did take the opportunity after having met with, again, Chief Quinzer and Deputy Chief, we were made aware of the SOTA code regulations that are up for first reading this evening. We have reviewed the SOTA recommendations, looked at the district boundaries, talked about what that might mean to the downtown Monroe district, and we are also unanimously in support of the SOTA and any change that the council might see fit making. So I will concede the rest of my 2 minutes. Have a wonderful evening, and I'm glad that I didn't have to follow Chief Quinzer's wonderful announcement with a negative moment anyway. Thank you very much for your time. Any questions or things that you need from me on that?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next person we have who has signed up to speak this evening is Tom Etterer. Mr. Etterer, thank you very much for coming. Please state your name and address for the record.
Tom Etterer, 111 Broadmoor Drive, Seattle, Washington, 98112. Good evening, Mayor Thomas, members of the council. Just wanted to, I own the property on Highway 2 and Frylands Boulevard, Kilo, former Eastside Masonry plant, and just wanted to voice my support for item AB18-065, which is the amendments to the critical area ordinance. Anyone has any questions? That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Mr. Everett.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matters? Anybody at all? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember
Cutaback.
Yeah, Councilmember Cutaback, you would be Councilmember Scarborough this evening, judging by your name tags up there.
Oh.
Sorry. That's what threw me there.
You can read that.
I can read that, yes.
Am I supposed to be sitting there?
All right, so I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda?
You missed that. She called me a rookie.
Councilmember Scarborough, any comments on the consent? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Ms. Atkinson, will you please read in the ordinances? Thank you.
Certainly. Approved to the consent agenda is ordinance number 003-2018, amending chapter 10.10 MMC, parking regulations, updating standards and procedures governing the impoundment of vehicles for certain parking infractions, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business item number 1. This is AB 18-065, ordinance number 022-2017, amending MMC 20.05, critical areas, final reading from Mr. Swanson. Mr. Swanson.
Great. Thank you, Council Mayor. First reading of this ordinance takes place in on October 3rd. I'll just, since it's been some time, reason recap what the ordinance is about and a little bit of the history. So this city is required under Growth Management Act to update its critical areas code periodically, and with that we're required to use what's called best available science. Our best available science actually comes from the Department of Ecology. Most jurisdictions use that unless they go out for an individual consult to help them with their critical areas code. And so the amendments that we're proposing in the critical areas code go hand in hand with ecology's guidance. There were two additional things we passed through ecology, and ecology did approve, and that one of those was the reuse of areas that were previously impacted, essentially impervious surface, parking lots, driveways, and buildings. And what that does is, under our current ordinance, if you took down that structure and you lost your legal non-conforming use due to those buffers, those buffers would essentially encroach on the rest of the lot. Under the proposed code we have, is you actually can reuse that area. You do have to mitigate for those buffer impacts, but it does allow the landowner or applicant to reuse that area. And the second one is, we put in an allowance for actually filling of wetlands. And so this isn't a flat out okay to fill any wetland. There's certain criteria you have to go through, and also if some wetlands, if they are hydrologically connected to a river body, can have the department or Army Corps of Engineers jurisdiction over the wetlands. So it was just some wiggle room, because the best available science proposed by ecology did increase some of the buffers there. So just depending on habitat score, and it's case-by-case basis, some of the buffers may increase. And one other thing that I discussed last time is ecology had some outstanding comments the initial time the critical areas code was brought forward, I believe in 2016. Those comments were addressed by ecology, and I included the attachment of the email with ecology's okay and buy off on those corrections. And with that, staff request that council move to adopt ordinance number 022-2017.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yep, no, this is great. We know ecology signed off, and if I remember correctly, the Growth Management Board viewed these favorably too. Is that not?
Council, the Growth Management Board hasn't actually reviewed these regulations. They go to the Department of Commerce for review, like all of the city's GMA development regulations do, and they've also been forwarded to, vetted with, and endorsed by the Department of Ecology, which has specific regulatory expertise in this area.
Okay.
Beautiful. Then I'm going to move to adopt ordinance number 002-2017, updating critical areas regulations by amending sections 20.05.020, 030.050, 060, 070, and 080 Monroe Municipal Code Title 20 related to wetland delineation, evaluation, protection, and mitigation. Other minor amendments to provide clarification and correct errors, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Okay. So just to clarify, the request, your motion is for the requested action is typed in Agenda Bill number, I'm going somewhere with this, just a second. 18-065. It's when you read the motion, it was 002 that you read, and you meant 022/2017, correct?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. And then the second?
No, I didn't either. Okay. Let's roll that tape back. He's off tonight.
I don't want to roll the tape back. So it's for the requested action is typed in Agenda Bill 18065. The second then was from Councilmember Cutterback. Is that correct?
No.
Councilmember Scarborough? All right. Any discussion on the motion for the requested action is typed in Agenda Bill 18065? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business item number 2. This is AB 18066, resolution number 003-2018, supporting funding of new countywide 911 emergency radio system. Chief Quinzer.
On January 9, 2018, the City Council received a presentation from Mr. Ralph Cruzy, Chief Administrative Officer, regarding the Snohomish County Emergency Radio System and replacement. At that time, the resolution for the system replacement was requested to be brought back for the Council's consideration. A resolution has been prepared for the City Council's consideration and potential action. The current estimate for the SERS update is $75 million, while Resolution 003-2018 recommends funding the new emergency 911 radio system through a dedicated countywide equitable funding source that does not at this time endorse a specific source to be used. Once the SERS planning process has specific cost estimates, the finance department can provide more detailed dollar impacts at that time. And hopefully you're able to read the resolution this time.
Yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yes, we can. And firmly support this. I know we haven't identified the funding source, but this is something that just has to be done. So I'm going to move to approve resolution number 003-2018. Supporting funding of a new countywide 911 emergency radio system.
Second.
Yeah, I have a motion from Councilmember Gamble, second from Councilmember Cutterback, for the requested action as identified in Agenda Bill number 18-066. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Next item on the agenda then is unfinished business item number 3. This is AB 18067, ordinance number 004-2018, adopting MMC 12.35, sitting or lying down on public sidewalks for final reading. Chief Quinzer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this ordinance addresses the goal of making the city of Monroe a safer place. The city has an interest in ensuring the safe and efficient flow of pedestrian traffic on public sidewalks near businesses. However, in areas with high pedestrian traffic, if there are individuals sitting or lying in the pedestrian right-of-way, it can be disruptive to residents, businesses, and customers, and it can discourage, block, or inhibit the free passage of pedestrians. This ordinance would allow enforcement of individuals that are sitting or lying down on public sidewalks between the hours of 6 a.m. through 2 a.m. within 100 feet of a business. This is a change to the first reading of this enforcement and would not be limited to a zone, but apply to public sidewalks surrounding businesses throughout the city. And I believe Mr. Lell has a comment.
Mr. Lell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In consultation with Ms. Willis and Chief Quinzer, after the revised draft was prepared, one potential alternative to the language in the existing draft for the Council's consideration would be to replace the current references to within 100 feet of a business with within 100 feet of a public entryway of any store, shop, office, business, or other building open to the public. I think that that change would be arguably more true to the underlying purpose of the ordinance and a little less amorphous as to how to measure the distance between where an individual might be sitting or lying and where the focus of the city's regulatory efforts really are.
Okay. So is it the requested action then to move the ordinance and then to move an amendment to the ordinance?
Yes.
Okay. And do we have the text that a council member can read in?
Yes.
So in the event a council member would like this, just let me know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Council member Gamble?
Well, I was first going to say I just want to thank the chief, the deputy chief, downtown Monroe Associate, and all the feedback that we got. I mean, I just thought this was a great one where everybody worked together to come up with something. So I know this is just our first step. We're not done. So I will be excited to see our further steps there. But I'm going to go ahead and do the requested action, and then we'll do the amendment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Move to adopt ordinance number 004-2018, amending Title 12 MMC by the addition of a new chapter 12.35, sitting or lying down on public sidewalks, promoting pedestrian safety by prohibiting persons from sitting or lying down upon public sidewalks near businesses, establishing exceptions, enforcement procedures, and penalties, therefore, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Gamble. I have a second from Councilmember Cutaback for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill 18-067. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Cutaback.
I just want to add my thanks to the chief and the city staff and the downtown association for coming and paying attention and making changes or looking at that critically. So I thank you for that.
Thank you. Mr. Well, when reading this in, what section of the ordinance does this apply to?
So, Mr. Mayor, I believe it should be used to replace all of the existing references in the draft ordinance that currently refer to within 100 feet of a business. So that would be in section 1235.010, subsection B. And in the title, I believe.
Yep.
Okay, so 1235.010, subsection B. Is that what you said?
Yes,
and C. Also C.
Thank you.
And also the title. Is that correct?
Yes.
So instead of saying near businesses, is it right?
Correct.
Okay. So to amend the existing motion.
Okay, so you're moving to amend?
Yeah. So to basically to replace the statement near businesses with the following, with replacing near businesses and all portions of the requested action and subsections with within 100 feet of a public entryway of any store, shop, office, business, or other building open to the public.
Ms. Atkinson?
Yes, just a note on your motion. The intention would be to strike all references and to insert the new language in all places. Correct.
What she said.
Correct.
Perfect.
That would make it so.
Okay. Second. Beauty.
Okay. We have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to replace the language where it says 100 feet of a business with the language that Councilmember Gamble read into the record. Is everybody clear on the motion? Okay, we're going to go. Any discussion on the motion to amend? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. We're now going to move up to the parent motion. Councilmember Gamble, your light's on. Did you have something to say? Okay, so we're moving back to the parent motion. This is the motion as you just amended it. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Chief. The next item on the agenda then is We are now moving into new business. This is new business item number one, AB 18068, ordinance number 005, 2018, adopting MMC 9.25, stay out of drug areas, SODA. First reading, Chief Quinzer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The proposed ordinance addressing the goal of making the city of Monroe a safer place. The city has an interest in designating certain areas within the city as stay out of drug areas, or SODA, and to authorize the Monroe Municipal Court to condition the pretrial release and or the post-conviction deferral or suspension sentence for drug offenses upon the defendant's continued physical exclusion from such areas. I believe you have a map that outlines the area that we're looking at. We tried to include the areas that we have had the most problems with and tried to exclude any area that we haven't had issues with.
Council members, any discussion or motion? Councilmember Cutterback?
Just when I first saw this, it kind of gave me pause, you know, defining areas where it's known, it's on the record that known areas of drug activity. I appreciate Ms. Glenn coming down and saying that the Downtown Association is okay with this, because that's the one thing that gave me pause, is now we're, you know, setting up an area that is considered a drug area, and we're asking people who have been charged with drug crimes to stay out of that area, correct? And I understand why the court would want to do it, but I just didn't know if any businesses or people that lived in this area are aware that we're designating this that area, and if there was any feedback from the public.
No. Chief, Mr. Lowe?
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry I was writing.
So to clarify, the stay out of drug area is intended to identify an area where people would be prohibited from going that has a sensitive area, so to speak.
And have been arrested or convicted of a drug offense.
Right.
And the areas that we've indicated are primary areas that we have issues. We purposely tried to exclude residential area,
okay,
because of, we didn't want to have a homeowner,
yeah,
have to disclose they live in a SODA.
Right. That was just my concern. When I look at this, I can't tell. I mean, I see the streets, but it looks like there are some residential areas.
There's about seven homes.
Yeah. That's all. That was the only thing that really gave me pause, is having it designated as that, and people that live in that area or have businesses in that area.
And I think, to speak to that point, Councilmember, the crime statistics for a particular area within the city are ultimately a matter of public record. This
right.
is simply a formal acknowledgement by the City Council that will occur by resolution that will have supportive findings by the council, testimony by the chief and the rest of the police department that defines that. It doesn't necessarily attach any more of a stigma to it than you intended to. This is a tool, again, for the court to
right.
use rather than some type of zoning restriction.
Right, and I get it's a tool for the court, and I support that, because I think there's pluses to that. It gave me pause to look and go, okay, we're designating this as a SODA area, and for people that live in that area or have a business in that area, just sensitive to how they would construe this. But I appreciate Ms. Glenn coming down and the Downtown Association looking at this and being okay with it. So I'm prepared to vote for it tonight. It did give me pause. That's all. Oops, okay.
You still have the floor, Council Member.
Get to it. I will make a motion. Let's see where it is. Okay. So I'll make a motion to accept as first reading ordinance number 005-2018, amending Title 9 MMC by the addition of a new chapter 9.25, Stay Out of Drug Areas, SODA. Orders thereto, authorizing the Monroe Municipal Court to condition the pretrial release and or post-conviction suspension a sentence for certain drug-related offenses upon the defendant's exclusion from the areas known for high levels of illegal drug activity, providing for the periodic designation of such areas by the City Council resolution, establishing standards, procedures, and penalties, therefore, providing for severability and fixing the time when the same shall become effective.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Excuse me? For the requested action under Agenda Bill 18-068. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda then is new business item number 2. This is AB 18-069, authorized mayor to purchase playground equipment for Skycomish River Park. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. I know the Oscars were a few nights ago, but I've got an Oscar-worthy video that I'm going to play after this. So, this is regarding the playground equipment at Skyward Park. So, City Council has authorized this year park CIP funding for replacement of that 25-year-old playground at Skyward Park. It's a listed project in our six-year CIP of the park plan. That playground has outlived its service life. Yeah. Replacement parts were becoming non-existent. Features were dated and lacking the inclusive challenge and motion elements the playground industry of today offers. The Monroe Park Board reviewed the existing playground equipment at their November and February meetings. The Park Board comments regarding the playground replacement included new active play features and improved ADA accessibility. A public open house was held on January 31st here. Participants viewed colorful information boards and displayed several feature options and concepts such as inclusive units, themes, and freestanding units, and then they voted on their preferences and voiced comments and suggestions. And these ideas and suggestions and conversations from the open house, they added detail and nuance to the final play design. The design criteria established for the new playground include features that encourage multi-generational play, ADA inclusive play spaces that intentionally break down physical and social barriers to play, playful public art that enhances the visual appeal of the park, and advanced climbing challenges and motion activities that appeal to older children who seek a more adventurous play experience. And surfacing improvements, such as the use of rubberized surfacing, is also part of the playground design. So Sightline's park and playground equipment out of Everett, they were the designer of the recent playground upgrade that we made at Lake Tai Park. They were tasked to design the new playground for Scarborough Park that incorporates all the design criteria. The company is an authorized vendor for Game Time, which is a nationally recognized playground equipment manufacturer and is authorized through the U.S. Communities Government Purchasing Cooperative to sell and install playgrounds that are competitively bid through their program. So the City of Monroe is a member of U.S. Communities Nationwide Purchasing Cooperative, so that allows public agencies to purchase eligible supplies, equipment, and factory-certified installation services at competitively bid prices. So the total is of this project is $343,581.47 for the purchase of that playground equipment. It includes the installation at state prevailing wage, performance bond, tax, and freight. This project is budgeted at $350,000. So the U.S. community's competitive bid pricing discounts average close to 24% off the listed price of the playground. And so we're getting a lot of bang for the buck on this project. And so we're requesting that timely approval is desired so this equipment can be ordered in time to be installed and the project completed by this summer. So let's see here. Look out for the red light. Oh, what the heck? Come on. I hear it now. The motor's warming up. I hope this doesn't. It doesn't take too long. I'll get it all queued up. Just a moment here. Actually, I want to turn the lights down too.
We've got a video.
All right.
Electro mice from this angle. Does it display up there too?
There we go. We're getting close. Okay. Where's the popcorn?
Yes.
Let's see here. I think we'll have a little bit of company music. And here we go.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Mike, when we did the new playground at Lake Tai, you and I had several conversations throughout that process and afterwards and leading up to this. And I remember you always saying that Lake Tai was pretty special because we were able to tie in components of Lake Tai into the new playground. And that's what we want to do for Sky River. And ever since then, I was trying to figure out how that's going to look, how it would look to tie in the essence of Sky River into this new playground. And I think you hit it with the trees, the looping in the ball field aspect of it as well. So great job. Kudos to your team and the Parks Board and Game Time. So I'm excited to see this take shape down there. So I'll go ahead and make a motion to move to authorize the mayor to sign a purchase order quote for playground equipment, including installation, utilizing U.S. Commodities Purchasing Cooperative Master Contract 2017-001134 through Game Time, care of Sightlines Park and Playground Products, Inc., in an amount of $343,581.47, and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Cutaback for the requested action as identified in Agenda Bill Number 18-069. Councilmember Cutaback.
I think it looks great. My one question, do you know that the big swing, do you know that big round kind of saucer? Mm-hmm. It's always kind of been standard that don't get one of something. So is that exactly what we're getting? We're getting one of those, or have we looked at what two would cost?
There really isn't the space in the footprint to have a second one.
Okay.
And then we do have the that other swing set on the other side. So we have we're equaling what we had at the park, but then we're exceeding it with the big off swing as well. So I guess it'll be a line, just like the tri-runner.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on the agenda this evening is Councilmember reports. Do we have a report from the Legislative Affairs Committee? Councilmember Starbuck.
We met and discussed with Ms. Knight the
Parks Recreation Director Mike Farrell provided an update on the meeting with the East County Parks and Recreation District of Snohomish County, including history, goals of Maltby Park, boundaries, users, and potential ballot measures for new projects. Miss Knight can probably give us more on a further update, but you've been to a meeting since that there's been some change or some verification of this?
Not yet. So we're still working on scheduling that follow-up meeting with members of the East County Park District. But we expect that in the next couple of weeks.
And that was the only subject we had for that night. So any questions?
Any questions, Council? Okay, and the legislature should be out Wednesday or Thursday, so our bill didn't make it, did it?
It did not.
Okay.
It got caught before it got onto the floor, but there's a high expectation that it'll be reintroduced next year and made it to the floor for a vote.
Okay. And on the legislative affairs front, again, related to the legislature, we understand the Representative Christensen's not running for re-election next year. So one of the things that is important, and again, it falls in the Legislative Affairs Committee, is that we've had a turnover with Pearson leaving, with Coster leaving, and also now with Christensen leaving. That'll be important for us to build relationships going into next year with whomever it is that is elected to office. For us to be able to leverage things like 522 and the synthetic turf fields that we're getting funds for, it's important for us to be able to have people down in Olympia that we have contact with. So, all right, anything else? All right, let's go ahead and go down the line on councilmember reports. Councilmember Gamble.
Let's see. So the end of this week is the last opportunity to buy tickets to the Public School Foundation, so that's on the 23rd. For those of you that are still waiting on that, just as a reminder, that's the annual fundraiser for the different programs that they support for our community, which they do learning enrichment grants for teachers. They do student support services, so students that can't, they want to play football or they want to be in band and they can't afford an instrument or they can't afford cleats or whatever the case may be. One of the programs that the Public School Foundation has is to pick up that tap form so that basically no one is left behind in being able to participate. They also have an emergency needs program which actively participates in our homeless crisis in the district. There are, it just shocks me to understand that on a daily basis we have children in the high school and other schools that don't have a place to live or sleep at night or basic necessities. So that's another program that they have. One of the larger ones is obviously sending kids on to college through college scholarships. So their single biggest, that's their revenue driver. So March 23rd, if anybody that is interested, I can get you tickets. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilman Rasmussen.
So Saturday, big dodgeball tournament coming up. Support the Boys and Girls Club and kids in our community. My offer still stands out there to everyone that made it the last meeting, so we'll just leave it at that.
Thank you.
Dodger wrench, you can dodge your ball.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutback.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Councilmember Scarborough.
Nothing tonight.
All right, let's go out to staff. We have a report from PD. Deputy Chief Kennard.
Mayor, Council, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. And we'll start off with community outreach. We had one enter and complete detox. We had two enter and two others graduated out of the treatment program this month. We have medication assist treatment. One started that program. And for housing, we had a total of four, one through the YMCA, one through the Everett Housing Authority, and two through the Clean and Sober Housing. And then we'll talk about our PROACT team on The first day of the month, we had a call out to the Chevron station at Highway 2 and East Main Street on a drug complaint. Our officers responded out there with PROAC and patrol, stopped the vehicle that was suspicious. Our canine alerted on that vehicle, and subsequently, after it was impounded, a search warrant was applied for and received. They located drug paraphernalia and approximately 2 ounces of methamphetamine in the vehicle. On February 23rd, traffic stop occurred, and the occupants were booked in the Snohomish County Jail, found 2.8 grams of methamphetamine on their persons. We applied for a search warrant on that vehicle and found a large sum of cash up underneath the dashboard that vehicle secreted in there. An update on the Town and Country burglary. We did recover a saw, which is pictured in your file there, and we did charge for felony burglary in that case. On our patrol, on February 24th, officers attempted to stop a vehicle, which decided not to stop for him, continued on. We discontinued a very short pursuit. The vehicle crashed up towards the Brown Road a very short time later. Subject was taken into custody on that. He was transported to the hospital where he escaped. He was later taken into custody and booked into the Snohomish County Jail. At the time, they located one handgun in that vehicle and a small quantity of drugs. We served a search warrant on that vehicle today and recovered 2 additional guns. And then on the 26th, that truck was in our impound yard. The officers had been looking at it through the window and noticed some of the damage to it. Officer Patton noticed some damage to the mirror, and then 2 days after the incident was called to a hit and run collision where a substantial amount of damage, about $1,000 damage, was done to a fence. He found parts of a mirror at that location, collected those as evidence. Remembering that he saw that vehicle in our impound yard, was able to match those parts to the truck we already had in custody there, and was able to charge hit and run on that vehicle for a prior incident prior to the taking off. And for our personnel update, we have Officer Hannah Snavely, who is currently on her field training assignment. We have Officer Brady Pettit, who graduated on the 13th of February and is currently on his field training. We have recruit Nicole Richards. She's scheduled to graduate the academy on the 15th of this month. We have recruit Natalie Steinbeck, and she will start the academy on the 13th of this month. We still have in the wings recruit Alex Thomas. We don't have a date for his starting the academy, but we think it's going to be somewhere around August. And then we need to fill a vacancy for an officer that has recently resigned. Our statistics for the year, we have 5 burglaries, 12 vehicle prowls, 3 vehicle thefts, and 8 vehicle recoveries. For the month of February, our numbers were down just a little bit over January with 3 burglaries, 4 vehicle prowls, 1 vehicle theft, and 3 vehicle recoveries. That's all I have. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
In the pictures where it says PROAC came and it shows the drug, I presume drugs in the baggies over here. The one on the left, is that about what 2 ounces of something looks like?
That's pretty close.
Okay. And the other one?
The other one is
8 grams or something?
Yeah, it's somewhere in the area of that. I don't know the exact weights of it.
Okay, and the vehicle prowls at 12, you said that's up from must prior?
No, 12 is the year's total.
Year's total.
Yes.
Thank you. Anything further, Council? Thank you, Deputy Chief.
Thank you.
The next report that we have is from our Public Works Department. Mr. Roberts.
Hey, sir. Good evening, everybody. The update is in your packet. If you have any questions about that, feel free to ask.
Okay, good enough.
That's pretty easy.
It hasn't come up yet.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Okay, well then, I'll wait. The good news is the Public Works Department was just awarded a $1.3-ish million grant to do a combined sewer storm separation project on North Madison. So that'll be kicking off here in the near future. This just the award just happened, so I don't really have any further information at this point in time. And then also we were able to add an additional staff person today due to attrition. Started this week on Monday. Corey Foss is on the operations and maintenance team of Public Works, and next week will be Jacob Toyson will be starting with us. Other than that, I don't have anything else to add on.
All right. Council, do you have any questions? All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Roberts. Next item that we have on the agenda then is Mayor and Administrative Reports. Ms. Knight.
So a couple of items on the extended agenda. The only item we have scheduled for next meeting is the proposed Washington ATVs allowed on city streets. That's coming back from your Public Works Committee, so we'll be discussing that in full council. On March 20th, we are moving the Public Works shop update to April, awaiting the final cost estimates expected from the architect in early April at that time. Then just a couple of calendar notes. Your meeting on March 27th is a special meeting. It's starting at 5 p.m. It's a continuation of the workshop that you had. We're going to be talking about the six-year strategic plan and then the Puget Sound Regional Council's Vision 2050 and population allocation. So that is going to be an ongoing discussion, and this is kind of the introduction to what that means and to get some feedback from council about population densities as we move towards planning for 2050. Also a note that the Tuesday, April 3rd meeting is canceled due to spring break. So that was something that council had adopted as part of your early calendar. So just want to bring that to your attention. We'll have a night off. On other items related to economic development, we had a very busy week this last week related to kind of kicking off all of our efforts around economic development. We met with our broker team last week and started the effort on our marketing campaign. So you'll be seeing some of those renderings coming back for your review and ultimate approval before we send them out to the public. We also met with Phillips Publishing and members of the Downtown Monroe Association and Chamber to talk about the Choose Monroe magazine. That'll be kicked off here, and we're going to be reaching out to businesses in the community starting at the Chamber meeting on March 13th. So look forward to meeting Julie Appleton from Phillips Publishing. She's the advertising rep. We have a lot of lifting to do to get all of those ads in order to make our April cutoff. So we'll be having a lot of folks working on that over the next couple of weeks. We had our economic development team. So again, our business recruitment specialist, James Palmer, myself, and Yvonne from the Chamber, and gentleman Andrew Vong with Economic Alliance of Snohomish County. We all toured the Werner Paddle site. They've moved both their distribution and their manufacturing center to Monroe. So we're very excited to have them in town, and they are still in the process of just getting the last bit of equipment in. This is their busy season. I have some pictures I'll be posting on our Facebook page just showing how many paddles they have kind of prepped up for the summer season as they begin kind of moving forward. So it was very good to get out and introduce ourselves and kind of start that business recruitment and retention campaign that we've been talking about for the last several months. Finally, just a reminder again, a calendar. Arbor Day is scheduled for April 28th, and I know that, Mr. Farrell and his team are really working hard on kind of bringing a really robust program together for Arbor Day. So we'll be doing some, again, reach out to the public and let them know what's happening around Arbor Day. The last update that I have is that we're meeting with Bruce Anderson. He's the purchaser for Lot 2A at North Kelsey. We're meeting with him and his architect and then finalizing the purchase and sale agreement. So the goal, again, is to have that back to you on your March 20th meeting. So good news there. Any questions?
Any questions, Council?
No. Thank you.
Councilmember Scarborough.
Choose Monroe, just clarify for me, the Choose Monroe magazine, was it going to be like the two we looked at for Chelan and or Wenatchee?
Very, very similar to that. Yes, they would
be high. That kind of paper?
Yes, very high quality paper, the kind of magazine that you see at the grocery checkout stand. Yep.
Any other questions? Okay, and we're going to go back out to staff for individual department. Quick check-in. Ms. Hassert?
Nothing this evening.
How did the passport day go?
Actually, we had a few people waiting in the parking lot at 8:30, even though we didn't open at 9. However, overall numbers for the day were a little lower than last year. And then we believe that a lot of that had to do with our actual numbers for all of February were actually pretty high. So I think people were coming in earlier, not just waiting for that Saturday. So.
Okay.
But yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Worthen?
Nothing to say.
Okay. Mr. Farrell, anything further?
A couple things. We have a call for sculptors out currently for a downtown outdoor sculpture. And the deadline for submissions is March 30th. Then we also have an RFP out for architectural design services for the Lake Tide Park all-weather fields conversion. And that deadline is, I believe it's March 21st.
Thank you. Mr. Swanson?
Nothing to say.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Yeah, just real quick, going back to Mike's comment about the art sculpture RFP, are we going to be looking for a review committee again, like with the last
one? We're going to use the same review committee, yeah.
Use the same one?
Yeah, or we'll just make certain that everybody's still here that was on that.
Yes, the same organizations.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything further, Councilman?
No, I just express my interest in continuing that if council so chooses.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll just double check and make certain that there isn't a term, or if there is a term, that we refresh that.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
It was the RFP for, what was the all-weather fields one?
For design.
For design, including lighting?
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Roberts, anything further?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Chief, do you have anything else to add?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Utility
wraps? Yeah, so one of the things that I've asked staff to look into doing is to doing wraps around utility boxes. A lot of cities are doing things like this right now. One place that I can think of as an example in downtown is right in front of where Adams is. So what you do is you wrap artwork or pictures or something like that around those utility cabinets. It provides some degree of interest other than just a gray box. And so we've been talking a little bit about this on staff.
We have been, and we actually met with Joey Worthen with the Downtown Monroe Association to talk about locations for those. So she is supposed to be working within her organization to identify specifics and then also talk about the artwork. We invited representatives from the Monroe Arts Council, but there must have been some miscommunication because we didn't have anybody.
Okay. Any questions, Council? All right, sounds good. As for me, you'll see in Monroe this week, I had coffee with the mayor. I had about six people in total come through. There was some discussion about 522, about homelessness and chemical dependency. There was also discussion about railroad quiet zones. I put that on the mayor Facebook page, and there were a number of comments there. There were comments, I understand, on other pages as well. I have asked staff to print out those comments and have them available for review as part of going through the process for community outreach. There were some questions as part of that about the intersection of Blueberry and Kelsey. Can we give just a brief update on Blueberry and Kelsey this evening? We're working on the design stage, or Jacob?
We're not quite there yet.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll come back and give an update a little bit later, a couple weeks then. Okay, and then I think that's about it for me for now. Customer turn back.
So I just wanted to thank the chief. I know we have a lot of time before May 1st, but I wanted to put on the record tonight with the announcement of your retirement. Well deserved, but you will be missed, and you have time to have a party or say more words as we get to May 1st. But I want to thank you for being such a good mentor, friend. So you're going to be missed.
Councilmember Gamble?
Agreed. I've thoroughly enjoyed the last 6 years. You're the only chief I've ever known in the city of Monroe. So, whole time that I've lived here, and it's just been a pleasure getting to know you. And I'm just convinced you didn't want to stick around for another football season since
that's true.
Things are going downhill in the down south. So
absolutely.
But I want my chief coin. I'm thinking as you said, you're retiring and I'm still here. I accept that coin.
It's earned. Congratulations.
That's good. Well deserved.
Okay. Highly recommended.
Okay, so we have nothing further this evening except for an executive session with potential action to follow, if nothing else, to adjourn the meeting. We are now going to enter into executive session for potential litigation. This is RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection I. We're going to go and start with 10 minutes. So we're going to go ahead and go into executive session. The people that we need here then are Mr. Lawler.
These go to 11.
All right, we're back on. Okay, we're back out of executive session. There is no further business required this evening. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen. A second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. We're adjourned. Have a good evening.